Right, now, let's talk sleep. Emmett Lynch is an adult sleep coach, and he's in studio with us. And he's going to take your questions as well, by the way. It's a complex area, 08660 25000, if you have any questions as it relates to sleep. Thanks so much, Emmett, for calling in. How are you keeping?
I am all good. Thanks very much for having me on the show. I have been a listener, and it's lovely to kind of be here.
Brilliant.
So thanks very much for having me on.
Excellent.
Board.
How important is sleep? Is it the most important thing outside of food and water? Is it up there?
I think it's up there. There's been a lot of research and a lot of evidence to suggest that your sleep is a cornerstone and the foundation of your health, because it has such a big impact on your emotional well-being, on your mental well-being, on your nutritional health, and on your physical health. And if you think about it, we have been sleeping for millions and millions of years, and Mother Nature, through all evolution, one of few things that she's always kept is sleep. Mm. And it's a thing that connects us all. And any time that you talk to someone about sleep, they either identify themselves as a good sleeper, a bad sleeper, or a light sleeper. And more when I'm kind of in this game, the more and more people are talking about sleep, which is great, because I always say good sleep can change everything.
I wake up jaded at times, and I think my breathing's restricted. You know, I don't think I'm breathing correctly. In fact, I know I would have a tendency to snore, but that can vary depending on factors and what have you. Like, I don't think I can, as much as I know, maybe I might need a machine, right? Firstly, the expense is huge. I just don't really know if I want to go down that route, because I just don't think I could get used to the accoutrements and all that kind of stuff. Like, what could someone like me, and I think I'm pretty typical, what could someone like me do to try and get a better night's sleep and wake up not feeling like, you know...
Well, there's a few wee things there. It sounds to me, and again, I don't want to be kind of spooking listeners or anything like that, but what you can have there is a thing called sleep apnea, right? Which basically, it's just a Greek or a Latin word, which means like without air. So basically what happens there is it's a collapse of your nasal and your kind of airwaves. So what you find sometimes too there, a person may be going to sleep and they hold their breath.
And then
a person can come on your sleep and go... And then, look, now I have worked with people that can happen 20 times a night to 30 times a night to up to 50 times across the night. And they wake up, they feel exhausted. And my thing is if that does happen, I would encourage them to go straight to their doctor or their GP or whatever that is and ask for them to refer them on to get a sleep study. They actually find out kind of where they're at in terms of their breathing kind of difficulties and stuff like that. So that's sleep apnea. Now that is called a sleep disorder.
Yeah.
And then what you have then, you can have folks that also kind of lie in their bed at night time and they're finding it difficult to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So they may be sleepy when they're in the living room watching the telly, watching Netflix or watching whatever, and the moment they get out of their chair and they go into bed, they put their head on the pillow, and all of a sudden their mind just becomes racing again about all the thoughts and feelings that they've went through that day or the busy day that they're going to have the next day. So what can happen there is the person may be kind of lying in their bed at night time and they are either ruminating or reminiscing about all the things.
So your focus is, you draw a distinction between something, and it doesn't mean that you wouldn't speak to someone or maybe be able to offer some assistance. You draw a distinction between, you know, people's sleeping habits, how much sleep they're getting off to sleep, if they wake up, getting back to sleep, as opposed to, you know, what would be classed as, like, probably what I have is a sleeping disorder.
Yeah, 100%. So for a sleeping disorder, you would need to come under your care of your GP, and you'd be kind of referred.
I'm going to do that, you see. That's the problem. But I do know I do know there are serious consequences for it going unchecked as well, too. So I do have that.
One of the things that can be, and again, it's not to spook people, is when you have sleep apnea, what you'll find is that, so across your sleep cycle, you have non-REM 1, non-REM 2, non-REM 3, and then REM. And what you'll find is with a person who would have, say, sleep apnea, they find it very difficult to go into non-REM 3. And non-REM 3 is your restorative sleep, and that is where you get a thing in your body called the human growth hormone, which is amazing for healing the body, but it's also very good for emotional regulation as well. So what you can have there, people can maybe still get a night's sleep, but they are waking up the next day and they're feeling tired. But a very simple thing to do is link them with your GP, But the breathing apparatuses now these days are actually a lot better than they were 10 years ago. So they are less intrusive. And I would encourage anybody, please, your sleep is your wealth. Your health is your wealth. So definitely see.
My watch tracks my sleep, my phone. Right. Okay. So I had 6 hours. What did I have? I had 6 hours and 50 minutes sleep last night. That's not enough, is it?
Well, the thing is that people always say to me, Emmett, what is the magic number? What's the Shangri-La number for sleep? And I says, there is no Shangri-La number for sleep because sleep is so individual. And for years we have been told, if you don't get 8 hours equals, you're going to get a cardiovascular illnesses, you're going to be open to dementia and Alzheimer's and diabetes. Yes, there can be links in that space, but sleep is so individual. But what I would say to anyone is, what you'd be looking for, anything between 6 and 9 hours of sleep a night. If it kind of falls within that bracket, okay, and that it is consistent and it's good quality, the one thing that I would encourage everybody and even myself is I do not track my sleep, okay? And the way I don't track my sleep is because your sleep tracker, majority of the time, they're good. Look at them with a degree of curiosity, but they're not really that accurate.
Well, let's me and you look at mine with a degree of accuracy because okay, it's not that I do it, it's just I never switched it off.
Right,
deep sleep, 2 hours, 10 minutes.
Okay, pretty good.
Light sleep, 2 hours, 55.
Yeah, well, that's you kind of going from, that's your non-REM one, so that's you going from wakingness to,
REM sleep, 150.
Okay, that's your dream sleep.
Yeah. Now, I felt fresh. Now, I was having incredibly vivid dreams last night.
Okay.
Like, incredibly vivid. Sometimes I wonder how involved I am. You know, I get so involved and I wake up and it feels almost reality. What is dreaming, then?
Dreaming is, you know what, this is an amazing subject. And the one thing that we have found out is when we look at dreaming, so Nobel Peace Prize winners have tried to crack this vault. Sigmund Freud has tried to crack this vault. Dreaming is still an area that is still actually relatively unknown.
Because I wonder sometimes, like, do you dream all of your dream in the space of like 30 seconds? No. Does it last for as long as you're in that dream mode?
It can.
You know, like it's...
The thing what we were kind of found, particularly about REM sleep, so that's rapid eye movement, that's what that's called. And why it's called that is when we go into that REM part of our sleep, our eyeballs behind our eyelids actually move back and forth up and down our diagonal. So that's why it's called REM. Mm-hmm. And then it's called non-REM sleep when it doesn't. So in terms of dreaming, there's a science out there that would suggest is, are we dreaming to heal ourselves emotionally, physically and spiritually? Mm-hmm. There can be that as well. But again, when they went in and they've done loads and loads of research in that space, it's still up for debate. And that is the most fascinating thing about this. But well, if we go back to your sleep tracker actually cannot actually tell if you're actually in REM sleep or if you're non-REM sleep, because the only way we're able to measure that is through brain wave activity.
Yeah, not breathing, which is probably relying on.
So that's why I kind of say to anybody is, look at your sleep trackers with a degree of curiosity, but ask yourself these retrospective questions when you wake up is, how do you feel when you get up in the morning time? Do you feel like I feel actually pretty good? Another question to ask yourself is, if you did not set your alarm this morning, would you have slept past the time to get up? Mm-hmm. That might be a sign that you might need an extra bit of sleep. Another one too is, when your head hit the pillow last night, did you just go straight out for the count? It means that you might have a wee bit of sleep deprivation. It means that you might need a little bit more. And my other question that I would encourage anyone to ask when it comes to sleep, again, these are just good wee questions. You can ask them at home with your colleagues, friends, family, whatever, is, can you function optimally without tea or coffee or a stimulant drink until 12 o'clock?
Yeah.
And if your answer is yay or nay, all you might do is need to kind of tweak your sleep and get an extra 25 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever it is.
Now, I've been jumping around a little bit. We'll get to something that's far more constructive for our listeners in a moment. But one more question. I find when I wake up in the morning, and I would wake before the alarm 9 times out of 10.
Good stuff.
That I could almost, within a minute or two, guess the time.
Right, okay. Right. That's just what that is.
I'm a weirdo. Am I talented?
You're not a weirdo. What you probably have is a very acute and accurate circadian rhythm. Mm. And that is your internal body clock. So it's the envy of all the Swiss clock makers in the world. They would love this. They would love how good our internal clock is. And basically, that is just really, really good sign.
Because I think I've spent the last 30 years, almost 25, 30 years, everything's been focused on time in my job. Everything is time. I hate to be late and all that kind of stuff. But I also think, too, that because of having not so bad now, but severe anxiety for a time, ultra sort of aware. I think there's an awareness comes with that or something. But anyway, Emmett, listen, as I say, sorry, I've been fleeting from one thing to another. We have questions in for listeners, and I want to actually get more general advice rather than me talking about my problems. But I'm going to take a quick break, if that's okay. So we'll be back with more from Emmett. Time to get your questions in. And as I say, it's the psychology of sleep. How would you frame it? You know, I mean, obviously, if someone's got a sleep disorder, restless legs, or sleep apnea, or something like that,
or insomnia, yeah.
That is more disordery kind of stuff. But Britt, send your questions in anyway, and absolutely, Emmett will direct you one way or other. Okay, back with more with Emmett after these. You know, I'm in the company of Emmett Lynch, adult sleep coach, NI, who has a sleep consultant practitioner's diploma. So it's funny, a lot of sleep experts I've spoken to in the past have different views, but a lot of it comes down to go to sleep when it's right for you to go to sleep, get the amount of sleep that you need. And there's indicators like you talked about functioning before 12 or napping in the afternoon or what have you. So could you give me an oversight of what you've said, 6 to 9, right? But just give us the band that you believe is, you know, tolerable.
Well, for me, it is a really individual thing. So, for example, the people that would come to see me, Craig, it could be anything from a county player, the high-performance athlete, like a boxer, an MMA fighter, a UFC fighter, to a triathlon runner, an Ironman, whatever. Or it can be a mum or her dad that are out there working, rearing a family, working, doing everything that they can. So, therefore, the sleep advice and guidance that I can give each one of them when I work with them on an individual basis would kind of differ much so. So, for a county player, for example, they would be looking for an extra 1% or 2% in their performance. So what we would be kind of identifying there is how sleep can promote their recovery after sessions, but also how can we develop strategies to help them actually sleep better before big games. Because before big games, their mind can be racing at nighttime, but after games, if the result didn't go their way, their mind could also be kind of reflecting.
And they could have another big game in 4 days.
Yeah, and they could have another one, absolutely. Yeah. And then another one, then we could be working with mums or dads who kind of come in. For example, the weekend I was working with kind of nurses and stuff like that, and shift workers. Another one, we had teachers and school teachers. And a couple of weeks ago, I remember around March time, I had accountants coming in because it was the end of the financial year and they were stressed to the max with all the things that were kind of going on there too. So there is a wide variety of people that would come in and kind of speak to me. And the thing I say to everyone is, look, when it comes to sleep, it is try easier, not try harder. Mm-hmm. And the last thing that you want to be doing is trying to force sleep to happen, because forcing sleep to can't happen will never happen. Mm-hmm. And the real simple science behind that is because we have two parts of our central nervous system. One is called the sympathetic part of our nervous system. Another one is the parasympathetic side of our nervous system. And when we are in that flight, anxiety type stress role and we're trying to push sleep, we are staying over in the sympathetic part of our nervous system. And what actually happens is now is emotionally we start seeing sleep as a threat rather than sleep as a reset and a re-energizing and a revive. And the more that we try to force it, the more our central nervous system doubles down. And that may be one of the reasons why you're not sleeping. The other side, when I ever work with people, is trying to move them over to the parasympathetic side of their nervous system, is trying, number one, is about setting good, positive, healthy bedtime routines and how to kind of challenge their negative thinking or their worries before bed, during bed, or when they wake up in the middle of the night. And how I do that is by a technique called cognitive behavioral therapy, which is CBT. And that's just a fancy way of, just because you think it doesn't mean it's true. Mm-hmm, and you can challenge your own negative thoughts in a very, very simple way. And what we can do there with the skills I have is for you now to start building a stronger, better emotional connection with your bed.
Is insomnia, because there's a few questions in relation to this, is insomnia a sleep disorder?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and it's actually one of the
most common. But is it manageable with CBT, for example?
Absolutely. It's one of the most evidence-based methodologies to kind of use to challenge in it. And when we talk about insomnia, so you have a thing called acute and chronic. And can I tell all your listeners, we all experience acute insomnia from time to time. Mm-hmm. For example, you might be stressing about, for example, the kids going back to school, paying for school uniforms. You could be worrying about Christmas. You could be worrying about a relationship or whatever. You might actually be being experiencing acute insomnia last night where you're worrying about work and the pressures come with it. So it kind of differs. So that's acute insomnia. It's very much short term and it tends to kind of work itself out.
So that's like not being able to get sleep before an exam or not being able to get sleep before a job interview.
A big job or just, a big presentation. Yeah, yeah. Like even last night, like I woke up last night going, now I usually am a quite a good sleeper, but again, I can experience a couple of ruffled nights.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're human beings. And I think it didn't normalize this as well. So last night I kind of woke up at like 3 a.m. I says, oh my God, I'm on high alarm radio tomorrow. Yeah. What are they going to ask me? And I want to give people a good steer. So I kind of set myself down and turned around and says, well, I can't fix this problem now. And I believe in my abilities. So when I go on the chat to Greg and his listeners, I'll be okay. Yeah. So I set myself down and I did this wee simple technique where I pick a word. So the word last night was dog. And I pick everything that's associated with the word D. So dinosaur, Donegal, dinner, and whatever word that is. Then I went to the letter O and it was octopus, orangutan, all the other words. Then I went to the word G. And before I got the word G,
it's your version of cat and sheep, effectively.
It is.
And in a way.
It is, in a way. And I found it actually a very, very easy way. But the thing I said to myself as well is, I would say to anybody, when you wake up in the middle of the night and your head's buzzy, that's probably not the best time to problem solve. So I always say to people is, just because you're not sleeping, rest is actually a very good substitute.
In a way, are you calling your brain's bluff there? Are you saying, so, all right then, fella, let's start work and see how you're liking.
Well, what I kind of say,
you know, I wonder if this is a cycle.
The thing is about sleep. Sleep is a skill, and like all skills, you can train. You can train it, and that's what I find with sleep is it's more about sleep education and sleep retraining. And I have seen and I have worked with countless people now through as a sleep consultant, a sleep coach, is you have people coming in going, oh, I never sleep. And one of the first things I say to all the folks I work with, stop saying to yourself that you don't sleep because you do. And it's kind of like if you say that enough, you will become that statement.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always say to everyone, you do sleep. You're just not sleeping the way that you want. Yep.
I've insomnia since menopause. I'm lucky to get 2 hours sleep by 4 a.m. Any advice? You've kind of touched on this coming from Marie. I mean, that's drastic. That's going to affect every element of your life, your physical health, your emotional health, your ability to actually function in society. But I mean, is it since menopause or is that just a coincidental timeline?
What you will find with women and what you will find with a lady who has menopause, their likelihood of actually experiencing insomnia shoots up to about 30-40%. And why that is because there is a dysregulation in their body temperature. There is maybe a reduction in serotonin and dopamine levels and stuff like that there too. So I really feel when clients come through the door and they are ladies that are going through that menopausal cycle. But the thing is that do not lose hope, do not lose despair by reaching out. Maybe it won't be me, but another sleep coach, we can get your sleep back on track. Mm-hmm. And what you might find is within about 4 or 5 weeks, you're going to start seeing a wee difference.
I think people like that would feel helpless that there's no solution to that.
There absolutely
is. Do you know what I mean? I think you might go, blooming hell, is this it? 2 hours a night if I'm lucky. It is resolvable.
Absolutely. It's like everything. There may not be a cure. There won't be a cure, but what there will be is what we can definitely is mitigate and get you more sleep.
Get 6 hours and she'll be cock a hoop.
You will be flying and stuff like that. But it takes time. And that's what I'm saying there. It takes time. It takes patience. And it takes a wee bit of dedication.
Yeah. My husband had sleep studies done and had the sleep monitor on, but he didn't sleep very well that night. He did stop breathing during the night, but was told it wasn't bad enough to warrant a sleep apnea machine. He's still very tired when he wakes, and I hear him at night stopping his breath. Can you go back to the GP or what should he do? Always go back to the GP. I was having this conversation on an outside broadcast at the weekend. You have to trust yourself. You know, medical people are medical people and they're fantastic. But if you were in your heart of hearts say, right, hold on a second, I'm still not sleeping correctly. I'm stopping breathing in the middle of the night and I'm knackered when I wake up. You can't just take one night study as fact. You have to say, right, I'm going to advocate for myself here. Go back to the GP, get a second opinion. This couple know that man has a sleeping disorder.
Yeah, and you've had
they the know he has a sleeping disorder. There's no point pretending he doesn't. Yeah, he does.
You've hit the nail on the head. One sleep study out of 365 days isn't enough. It's a drop in the ocean. You know, it wouldn't even be a 1% of the year. So definitely, I would reach out. And even if they want to do, they can seek a second opinion from another GP. And it's not that you're not accepting the GP's call, but your lived experience,
you know yourself,
will trump the professional opinion on that day when they've just met you for that very short window of time.
Life is cruel for overthinkers or people with anxiety because, you know, you get through the day with noise and you're busy and you wear yourself out, and then you go to reload to top yourself up again, and next thing you know, you're in darkness and it's dead quiet, and then your brain goes, okay, I'll have a piece of this action. Mm-hmm. This caller says, I can't sleep hardly at all. I go to bed at 11 o'clock and just lie there until 7 a.m. I might doze for an hour around 3 or 4, but I'm okay the next morning once I'm up, but I would like to get more sleep. What can I do to help? And a lot of these are going to come back to the fact that you need to sort of work on your mindset to really, get better sleep.
One of the things I say to everyone is it's so crucial. If you think about it, when we were all being brought up as kids, our parents were really strict on our bedtimes and our sleep bedtime routine. But for some reason, when we become adults, that routine just gets fired out the window. And I understand that. But my thing is about saying to people is, let's put a sleep routine in 1 hour before you go to bed. For that person, they're going to bed too early. There's no point. You go to bed when you're tired. For example, you wouldn't open the fridge door and just stare at the fridge door and go, I'm still not hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm still not hungry. I'm still not hungry. You go to the fridge door and you open up when you're hungry, or you go to the loo when you got to go to the loo. You're not going to sit on the loo and hope that you go.
Yeah.
It's very, very similar to kind of sleep. If you're not sleepy, don't go to bed. Mm-hmm. Go to bed when you're sleepy. And what for that person there, the wee treatment that I would probably kind of work with them on is probably sleep restriction. Is slow down and restrict how many hours they spend in bed. Mm-hmm. And then what we can do then is kind of build that up with them and stuff like that. And
especially if you get out of bed times the same. You know,
so crucial, like, and again, this goes back to your very sophisticated circadian rhythm. You're able to wake up before your alarm clock. The most important thing I say to anybody is it's not necessarily going to bed at the same time every night, but what it is, guys, is getting up at the same time every day, including weekends. And whenever I say that, whenever I go into workplaces to do workshops or community groups or do talks or presentations, everyone rolls their eyes and goes, but I use my weekend to bank my sleep. And I turn around. I go, sleep doesn't work like that. No, it's not the credit union. Yeah. You can't save it and then take it out. That's not the way it works. But if you want a very simple technique to kind of improve your sleep, is get up at the same time every day, including weekends.
Or have a toddler. And they'll make sure.
A 2 foot alarm clock.
Yeah, it's frivolous enough. Good morning, Greg. Please ask Emmett, you're going to settle an argument here. Is it possible to turn in your sleep from side to side and onto your back? My husband's convinced you have to be awake to turn over.
No, we're going to settle this one, and the wife's going to win here, okay? The thing is that we go through so many different positions in the middle of the night. So what you'll find here is if you're a right hander, you're more likely going to go on your left side, and you're going to go on that fetal position because that is where you feel most safe, secure, content. And that kind of comes from when we were in our mommies, when we were all in our mommy's womb. And then what happens then throughout the night is we'll kind of roll over to our right, we'll go on our belly, we'll go on our back. You're going to go through all the different positions, and the reality is you'll do it without even knowing. In fact, what will happen is for most people, you'll wake up maybe 2 or 3 times during the night and you'll not even recount it to memory.
Yeah. Go onto YouTube and check a sort of a night vision video of someone sleeping. You might be astonished how much they...
Yeah, of course.
A few questions on sleeping tablets. Some people wondering, are they any good? Others saying they take them and still can't sleep. Sleeping tablets can have an addictive nature to them as well. I'm sure there is a place for them, but as a sleep specialist, are you of the view that that should be the last option, or do you think they're worth...
The thing about sleep medication, okay, and I would describe it as having a tiger in the house, they're not good long term. You have to come under the care of your doctor, and as soon as you go on sleeping medication, your doctor should be sitting down with you and also developing a sleep exit plan for your medication. You really shouldn't be on them long term. The only time when you should be on sleep medication should be, for example, if you've been through a bereavement and you're finding it very, very difficult to sleep. Jet lag could be another one, and another one there too could be for some children or some adults that would have a learning disability or ASD and stuff like that. That could be another one, and another one there know, could be a shift worker who's going from working shift workers to now working 9 to 5 kind of space, and their circadian rhythm is still sort of whack. But it's very, very, very short period. I'm talking like maybe less than 4 weeks. And then again, your GP should be sitting down with you and having a sleep exit plan, because what's happened here too, sleep medication actually doesn't put you to sleep. It's a sedative, it's knocking you out. So there's a difference between sleeping and then the sleep medication where it's knocking you out, where when you are sleeping naturally, okay, what you're actually experiencing is all those lovely sleep cycles we kind of went through.
So if you have a few drinks and you go to sleep, you can almost wake up in the same position, exhausted. Is that kind of in the same space as the type of sleep you might get with sleeping tablets?
The thing about alcohol is not a friend of sleep. No. It is, again, that's a sedative as well. And what that does, it actually doesn't actually put you to sleep. It's just knocking you out. You can nearly perform a wee operation on that person because they're just getting knocked out. So for me, alcohol is not a friend of sleep. Okay. And I know some people turn around and go, oh, but you know, I get that kind of warm, fuzzy feeling. I get that relaxed feeling. Yes, but it's a false feeling. And it's not a friend of sleep.
Are there any products on the market outside of medical products that aid snoring?
Can help it?
Aid get rid of it.
Okay, well, there's one actually through your dentist. You can get like a wee kind of mouth guard, and it can actually move your wee jaw forward. Yeah. You can also get kind of nasal.
But your snoring is going to be coming from different places. I think I have a fat neck, so, you know, wind side. So I think it's when my jaw falls back.
There's a few wee things there.
I might
try
that one out of the chemist.
Yeah, it's actually that the one that the wee mouth guard that you can get with your dentist. There might be a few kind of in the Donegal area kind of does it. It can actually just move your jaw slightly forward a wee bit, and then you could have the nasal strips as well.
I can feel sort of my jaw go. What's that area there?
And what you'll find there too, when sometimes
my jaw's come back.
I can find sometimes too when people come into me and they turn around and say, you know, I put on a wee bit of weight. And I feel as if it's all kind of here around my kind of neck, and that could be a symptom. So if you want, maybe look at maybe reducing down how much kind of calories you're eating that day, maybe a wee bit more exercise, maybe lose a little bit of weight, and you might see a wee difference there too.
Do you see people, I'm sorry, we'll have to wrap up shortly, I've taken up too much of your time already, people with ADHD, I'm getting specific questions about people with ADHD or other elements of a spectrum, and autism. Are there particular challenges for people with ADHD and or autism in getting to sleep?
Well, there can be, definitely. Are we talking about kids or adults?
40-year-old in that case.
Okay, so we're talking about now. Yeah, again, look, I've worked with adults who have autism and have ADHD. And the thing what I'd be kind of saying there is we got to do a sleep assessment and kind of figure out where they're at. And then we got to see about setting a sleep goal. And then what we can do then is start bringing in those structures around your bedtime and also your waking up time, and also bringing in those CBT skills. So for me, there's no magic bullet to this. There will be about 4 or 5 different strategies that we can bring in to support that person.
And very lastly, I really feel for this person. My husband died a number of years ago in an accident. And I haven't been sleeping since. They get about 10 minutes a night. They're obviously dealing with a loss there.
Yeah.
And they're also dealing with something that they really probably don't need to be dealing with if they get the right help.
I think for that lady, I would be kind of encouraging her to maybe kind of reach out and speak into a counsellor or a therapist to unpack that
sense
of bereavement. And then when she does that, then she feels, you know, now's the time to kind of look at my sleep. Definitely.
I wonder how she's spoken to a bereavement counsellor, because people struggle on and they put the brave face out there, you know, and they don't actually necessarily, especially if it was potentially over COVID or something, whereby, 100%. You know, we didn't get the routine of a goodbye that helps us. So I would really encourage you, if you haven't already, to speak to a bereavement counsellor. And as Emmett said, if that's, you know, maybe that might assist in you sleeping. If not, definitely speak to someone like Emmett. How do people find more info about you, Emmett, and the work that you do? Is it Emmett Lynch, Adult Sleep Coach NI? Just search that.
Well, if they go onto my Instagram page, it's Adult Sleep Coach NI. It's on there. I also have a Facebook page as well, just a kind of a like page. And then if your folks wanted to email me, so it's adultsleepcoach@yahoo.com. I could probably share my details with the guys.
Of course, yeah. No, we'll always retain the info because they know our number off by heart. But the key handle for Emmett is Adult Sleep Coach NI. But as I say, we'll retain his contacts here just in case you want to. Well, Emmett, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for coming.
I'm pleased that you nodded off at G, was it, or last night?
I went off at O before I went to Kennedy G, and I'm here now. I'm kind of going, God, it wasn't as bad as thought.
That's always what people say. it's never as bad as, but it's like everything, isn't it? And this is actually talks about, you know, the anticipation of anything is worse than the event itself most times. All right, thanks so much, Emmett. We'll be back with Chris and Business News shortly. Playing his part in spreading the news of business around the Northwest and around the world is Chris Ashmore, who's the presenter of Highland Radio's Business Matters podcast. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning to you, Greg.
Rightio. We'll talk about the pod in a moment. Let's catch up on some news. And there's a bit of an old tourism buzz going around the place, obviously. The Love Donegal initiative's on at the moment. T-Bex is happening. And you've got a bit of news about this space as well.
Yes, indeed. It's a busy week. Lots going on. Several hundred people in Letterkenny for T-Bex. You've mentioned it's essentially an assembly, a gathering of travel creators and bloggers and I don't like to use that word influencers, but you know what I'm talking about. And they're here in Donegal. Now, this is, it's great for Donegal to get this event. And in the past, it's been staged in Ireland before. Indeed, it was down in Killarney some years ago. And just to give a scale of what it means, following them, the event in Killarney, the attendees, they were filming a lot of stuff, talking to a lot of people, but they've calculated that following T-Bex Europe in Killarney, which was in 2017, the attendees created over 3 billion online impressions for Ireland that year. So,
And people might go, oh, that's an amazing, that there's no way that's true. Well, I'm one person, and on my itty-bitty Facebook page, I would have 4 million interactions.
Yeah, the figures are mind-boggling.
So, you know what I mean? You can you spread this out into people that are professionals in that area, and it's genuine. And you know, Chris, people make decisions now based on recommendations. They make it, it is good. Oh, it's good. I'll go there. You know what I mean? As much as anything.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily just what a organisation might say. They want to hear from real people that they trust. So that's tourism. T-Bex is, it's a biggie. We are, by the way, broadcasting live from the ATU on Friday. It's from 9 till 12, as you can imagine. It's the usual Friday panel, live music, presidential election candidate, independent TD Catherine Connolly, and interviews with T-Bex organisers and content creators who are in the county for the event. So a lot going on Friday, but it's all going to be live from the ATU Donegal. I haven't done a show from there yet, actually, even though I've been around the place quite a bit. Blue Economy Engineering Workshop. I'm going to learn something.
Yes, the blue economy, so that's maritime related. There's going to be a workshop on the 25th of September in the Radisson Hotel in Letterkenny, just looking at opportunities in the engineering sector in the blue economy. You can go through Donegal County Council for more details on that. It's a 8:30 in the morning start and goes on to 11:30. But obviously we are in a maritime county, and there are opportunities there.
Disrupt by the sea shark tank.
Yes, now, not one that's going to run off the tongue too easily, but now what this is, Greg, it's held every year. It's a chance for people who have maybe a startup business.
Ah, right. Sorry, this is the American version of Dragon's Den, isn't it?
Yes, okay, and it's been held down in Remelton a number of years. You go, there's a panel of US investors and people who are looking for ideas and maybe want to take a share of your company, put some money into it. So there'll be a panel there. So you go present your great idea, your pitch, and who knows? And out of these small beginnings, sometimes we have great stories to emerge. So that's taking place in October. We'll have more about that. You'll hear more about that a little bit closer to the time, but just to get the word out there, because it's certainly a very interesting event and can lead to great things.
Yeah, for sure. Some upcoming business clinics, Chris?
Yes. Now, there's a business clinic. This is very much a tourism-related item, and it's the tourism unit within Donegal County Council. They're teaming up with Fáilte Ireland to have business clinics for the tourism sector. They're going to take place in November, and there'll be one business clinic held in each municipal district around Donegal, so you don't have to travel too far. So if you're in the tourism sector there, it's a chance to meet other people in the industry and the council in Fáilte Ireland and to see what supports are available. So well worth looking into if you are involved in any way in the tourism sector.
Radio Chris, what's coming up on this week's podcast?
Well, this week's podcast, I have been looking at the Ballyliffin Lodge and Spa Hotel and speaking to the general manager there, Ron Kerrigan. It's been a big year for them. 20th anniversary this year for the proprietors, Sean and Mary Keogh and their family. They've done great work. Now, not only is it Ireland's most northerly four-star hotel, but it's arguably Ireland's greenest hotel. They have solar panels. They use wood chip in their heating. They have a natural spring. They have their own in-house laundry. And they have, so that's cutting down on the travel to and from with the trucks coming in and out. All very, very green. And that is paying off because not only are they making savings now that they've made the investment, but there's also the green tourist. We hear about the grey euro or different types of sectors of customers coming to hotels, but there will be some people who will go to a hotel because it is ticking the boxes from the green side of things. So they've done a lot of work. They've won a number of awards, and it's certainly beginning to pay off. And I think we have a couple of clips here. The first one here, Ron Kerrigan just speaks about some of their green initiatives.
Guests, all the energy initiatives.
I'm going to start that again, Chris.
Well, we're doing our best to promote to our guests all the energy initiatives that we're doing. So, for example, you're in the guest room, you're lying watching TV, or you're charging your phone on your laptop, anything. Chances are that energy is being provided, obviously, from solar. So it's great. So we are trying to push our green initiative, and it's getting more and more apparent for users, and even the younger generation are very wary and conscious of that. So when you go online to book hotels, they tend to look for ones, you know, that are obviously greener. So yeah, it's great. And as I say, it's a double win there, because it's obviously great for the environment as well, which we love and appreciate so much.
And I can't remember who I was having this conversation with recently, but I believe it was on air. There's a lot of people debating about the pros and cons of solar power, wind power, wood chip burning, generating power or heat or water or whatever in different ways. And then there's some people just getting on with it that are saying, actually, you know what, this is of a benefit to us. It's of a benefit to the environment. So whilst there's some people actually still arguing about the rights or wrongs of it, there's a whole other group of people that really generally go unheard, which I'm pleased in this occasion it's not the case, that are just adopting it, making it work for their businesses and seeing the benefits of it. They are early adopters way out in front of the broader conversation.
And not only, in this case, not only are they generating enough power for their heat and light in the hotel, they actually have sometimes a surplus, depending on the time of the year, and they're actually feeding it back into the grid and getting a credit for that. So
from a big building, that's astonishing efficiency. Yeah. A second clip from
Looking forward, the hotel, very high occupancy rates, and they are about to embark on a major $1.5 million refurbishment program, which will take place at the 40-bedroom hotel starting in the early part of next year.
From January 2026, we have further large investment plans again for the hotel. So as you're aware, we obviously done a lot of the green energy stuff in the past there, but now it's going to be more guest facing, in the sense that we're doing up the reception, we're doing up all the hallways, the carpets, the 40 guest rooms, the public toilets, bathrooms, everything. So it's going to be like a new hotel. So it's very, very exciting for all concerned.
Brilliant. Those are just two clips. You can get the full interview on the podcast, which is a digital first. It's going to be available for you online. And have you hit publish yet?
very shortly.
Okay, so it's going to be available for you to listen to that entire conversation. There's more content in there as well. Chris is going to be talking to Sean Quinn about the big awards that are ongoing at the moment, and Sean's going to join us in a moment as well, just to reiterate all of that. And that, of course, are the Highland Radio, or they, of course, are the Highland Radio Hospitality Awards. And the show's broadcast on Sunday as well, Chris.
That's right, following the news on Sunday. So
at 6.
After the sport, yeah.
And if anyone wants to make contact with you, how do they go about it?
Best way is by email. It's businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Thanks, Chris. Chat to you next week. My timeline on social media has been flooded by businesses celebrating the fact that they have been shortlisted for Highland Radio's Customer Services Awards. It's fantastic to see. And the voting for your favourites on those shortlists is opened. Now, to talk about this more, I'm joined in studio by the CEO, Sean Quinn. Sean, thanks for calling in. We had a massive rush over the weekend of people voting, firstly, of course, to establish the shortlist.
Yeah.
And even since that shortlist was announced, a huge rush of votes for people's favourites.
It's gone mad, Greg. Yeah, it's gone mad. I think we'd over 15,000 nominations. It went crazy from Friday. It's the usual Donegal thing, lastminute.com. So last night, I think it was about 5:30, we opened up the voting. Which I couldn't
understand because I wasn't privy to that, right? And then I started seeing all these posts popping up in social media coming from businesses and individuals and stuff. So the buzz landed straight away.
It went mental because the great thing was you're able to share it because we did it on Facebook. So there was hundreds upon hundreds of shares, people looking for votes. Would you believe already, overnight, there's over 26,000 votes?
That's remarkable.
It's phenomenal.
It's remarkable feedback. And listen, it's a testimony to you out there, the great businessmen, businesswomen, tradespeople, businesses, that the public are so engaged in this that they want to vote for you. Voting remains open until Friday, the 19th of September. You can only vote once in each individual category, but I know people going through the various categories and saying, all right, okay, I'll give them a vote or I'll give them a vote. And it all leads up to the awards ceremony taking place on October 5th. In the Mount Errigal Hotel, Letterkenny. Have businesses all been notified? Well, they've all been notified. It's whether or not they've picked up that notification.
Yeah.
So have you any messages for the shortlisted businesses that might be listening?
Yeah, so what we did yesterday, we went through a process where we've emailed every business that's been shortlisted. So the call out now is, if you know you've been shortlisted and you don't have the form, the application form, please get in touch with us today on 074-91-25,000. And we will get the correct. We've already had a couple this morning that came in to us, and we'll send out those forms to them in due course. But it is essential because of the short turnaround that if you know you've been shortlisted, check your spam. You never, it could be in spam, but we will be happy to get, if we think we have the right email address, but that's not, if we don't have it, please get in touch with us today because every minute counts at this stage because it's a short window.
Yeah, it is indeed. And we have a system, of course, to make sure it's fair and balanced to all shortlisted businesses that if they have a huge public vote that's represented, but you could have one business with a massive social media presence and another that's smaller, but both have fantastic customer service. And that's why we've got a fantastic set of judges that will reflect... The winners will reflect the public's feelings and the judges' feelings as well. And a lot of thought's been gone into that to make it perfectly open and perfectly fair. Independent judges, by the way, and your votes at home or at work or wherever you are. House and home category, Nicola Baldrick's on board for that.
She is, yeah.
Which is great. In the hair and beauty category, Jen Wood, who's a content creator from Derry, who covers fashion, lifestyle and makeup. The motor category, Martin Walsh, who's a motorsport journalist based in County Cork. The retail category, Marcin Kelly, businessman and former owner of Kelly's Centra and Diner and former recipient of Letterkenny Chamber Person of the Year. And our friend Sandra Deveni, the lifestyle category. She, of course, is the general manager of McElhenney's. So, as I say, between the public votes and those expert independent judges, we're going to have brilliant winners right across the board. There's just no doubt about that.
And I think the one call out now, Greg, is when you receive the form, take your time. give us as much information, answer as best that you can, because that will inform the judge on the basis of what you do, how you feel about your customer service, what it does for your business. Answer that is in fully as you can. Don't just scribble a line, look at it, digest it, come back to it, and give them as much information as you can, links to your Facebook pages.
And to be clear, we're talking to businesses now, not the public voting. This is to businesses who are receiving a separate form from us.
Yeah, it's really important because it's a large score within the process. So it's important that, and if I look back over the last couple of years, there have been some that's been one-liners, and it's very difficult to judge that. Give us as much information as you can. If you need to seek help, advice, ring a friend, talk to a business consultant, take your time to do it because it will make a massive difference.
All roads lead to what's going to be an amazing night if any of the previous nights are to go by. We know how to put on a show, and this time it's going to be on October the 5th in the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny. In terms of businesses securing the seat, for what actually is a great night out. Now, it's fantastic if you win, but I'll tell you, in terms of getting your team together and having a brilliant night out, I would suggest if you can book the Monday off, do, right? Some of these businesses are off Monday anyway, but you're going to have a fantastic night. As I say, even just for team building and recognising the great work of your staff in your company. But of course, you have a great chance of picking up a fantastic award.
You do. And what I'm going to say to you at the moment is, on the form, you're guaranteed four tickets. So you're being shortlisted, you'll get four tickets. If you do require more, put it on the form as well. And what we have a waiting list, and we'll look and see what is the number, because the max, I think it's 480 to 500. We will come back. If we can get you additional tickets, we will try our best to do that, because as you rightly said, Greg, it's an incredible night. It's great crack. Everybody in the room will be high intensity, buzzing. But don't forget, short window, please get into it. If you want to vote, you haven't done yet. I think this is going to go over 100,000 votes.
All right, okay. So just for you, the public, vote for your business right now. Go to highlandradio.com. For you, the business, you will have received information. If you haven't, give us a call, 074-9125,000. We must leave it there. We'll be talking much more about it into the future. But for me, Greg Hughes and the team, have a wonderful Wednesday.